You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's the sort of thing I do. Just noodling around.
We're here with Bill Bailey trying to figure out that Tom Ferguson track. What was it? What a brilliant way to sort of introduce a legend, I guess. Oh. Totally, yeah. No, that's a fair call. I'm sticking with legend.
All right.
Welcome to the BFM studios. The legend that is Bill Bailey.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. I was just commenting on the sparse and electronic and pleasing nature of that last track.
Tom Rogerson, Motion in Field with Brian Eno.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing I do, noodle around on with arpeggiators and
have a good
bits of
around.
Tech. Oh, yeah.
I imagine
absolutely.
You have quite a good studio at your home.
Well, yeah, I do have a lot of stuff, a lot of instruments, and a good setup, so I can just slot in any kind of instrument that I like, along with all the pre-recorded stuff. But I like to collect things like samples and all weird electronica.
Do you have a favorite instrument in your quiver
straight
of instruments?
Straight to the favorites.
Well, you know, there you go.
What's number one? There must be number one.
Well, it changes all the time, you know. I mean, I get an instrument for a bit and I start to play it and I really love it for a while. And then I sort of find something else and then I have to, kind of let go and move on. The one I like is one I'm playing at the moment, which I really like. And it's an instrument called a cittern. Right, and it's a forerunner of the guitar, and the name actually sounds—it's quite sort of synonymous. Cittern. It's actually one of the earliest forms of guitars, and it's actually got five strings, but they're doubled. So it's like a five-string double string, but they're strung a bit like in a weird tuning. In sort of fourths and fifths, a bit like a mandola or mandolin.
Wow, okay.
And it makes an unholy racket. It's a fantastic thing.
Cool.
I ain't turning all sting on you, though. Don't worry about
it. How large are we talking?
Oh, it's little. It's kind of cute that.
Yeah, nice.
It's really cute sizing. It's like a size of like a mini guitar.
Are there modern manufacturers of these instruments, or are you having to dig, trawl
instrument archaeology
to museums? Can I borrow your cittern? For I wish to play upon it. No, I have to. It's a kind of thing I like. I know people who make these things. You know, like I know a lot of people that do
Luthiers.
This kind of stuff. Yeah,
Luthiers.
Exactly. I know websites. I know people. I'm well known. I'm well thought of in places.
I would assume Bill Bailey would have his people.
Yeah, I've got people.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. You want a cittern? I can hook you up there. I can get you a cittern, Bill. Anything you want. That's a real one as well.
We had a hurdy-gurdy in studio a while ago.
Get out.
That's an impressive instrument.
Shut the front door. You never had a hurdy-gurdy.
No, straight up.
We have.
Straight up.
Really?
We have.
Wow.
Is there anything more righteously medieval than
that
a hurdy-gurdy?
That is the best. That's the instrument I would play at my funeral. I want somebody cranking out Smells Like Teen Spirit on the hurdy-gurdy.
The mechanics, it's just insane, eh?
It's a beautiful thing. And of course, the word, I love the word as well, hurdy-gurdy. You know what that is? It's a reduplicative compound. And that is a word that's combined of two things that sound kind of similar, like hoity-toity or nitty-gritty or, you know, flim-flam. And hurdy-gurdy is one of those. Because hurdy, there's no hurdy. It ain't no Gurdy.
Right.
But Hurdy Gurdy. Now you're talking.
It is a gnarly name for something, isn't it?
Yeah. Because we like it as humans. We love to say things that rhyme.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
We like that. We like the kind of ding ding, the kind of ping ping sound of things, you know? Like nitty gritty.
It's sucking you in a bit, because if you don't know how to play it, it just sounds like Satan, basically.
It does, yeah. Satan.
And you've got to pay a lot of
instrument.
Money to have a good one.
Yeah. Probably that's what Satan noodles around on. Bring me my Hurdy Gurdy, Mephistopheles.
Hey, we should. Should we mention why, in fact, you're in this beautiful country of ours, Bill?
Yeah.
Is it bird watching?
Yeah, partly. It's a bird watching tour disguised as a stand-up tour, and I'm here touring again with my show Earl of Whimsy, which is about to kick off, and I think this is. I don't know. I've just lost count of the number of times I came here once. Many times. It was the first time I came here was 20 odd years ago. So I've been coming to New Zealand for many, many years.
What's great is you're answering the question that we asked off here.
Yeah.
That John didn't. We were going to make John ask again.
So I'm just going to. No, don't ask. Pretend I never said that.
Something's just sprung to mind.
Mm.
Bill Bailey, how many times have you been to New Zealand?
Wow. Now you mention it, it must be several hundred. No, I think. maybe every couple of years. Well, when I first started coming here, I came every year. Right. I mean, I was back every year.
Was that on a circuit situation?
Yeah, yeah. Because it was the comedy fest, as right. it was, and we'd come over and we'd play. You know, there's a comedy festival in Melbourne, and then we come to New Zealand, and we'd a whole bunch of comedians would just tour around New Zealand,
right.
And it was the best time. And
are you kind of in that scene that much anymore? Or is that still going on?
It is. Yeah, it is. I'm not into that thing anymore. Mm. I'm kind of out of the loop. I'm on my own, plowing my own furrow.
Yeah, okay.
But that was a great time, and me and Simon Pegg and Rich Hall and a bunch of American comics, we all just toured around New Zealand, and we did it I think every year, 96, 97, 98, about 5 years in a row, and then I've been coming back every couple of years since, so right. I've got to see quite a lot of the country there.
And you're armed with is that a banjo?
That's actually a Bible.
Okay.
It's a beautiful instrument that was made for me by a guitar maker in Australia, and it's an actual old King James Bible.
Holy hell!
Which has been made into a guitar, and it's a four-string kind of blues-style Appalachian blues guitar.
Can it's you open it?
Makes a beautiful thing. It's not a functioning Bible.
Okay.
No, the Bible bit of it is.
But it would stop a vampire or something.
Absolutely, 100%.
Rad. That's fucking mint, actually. Mm. That sounds cool.
It's a beautiful thing. And I get a lot of novelty instruments. People make me weird things. Like, because I play electronic instruments like theremins. You know
yes,
a theremin,
yeah,
right?
Cool.
And so people went through a phase where people would bring me instruments. People bring me a lot of weird stuff.
Check
anyway.
It out, Bill.
I mean,
you'll love
here,
it.
Check this out. Yeah. I made a theremin out of a garden gnome, right? Honestly, I swear to God, it came at the back of this... At the back of the theatre, and this guy, this kid, and he goes, "Bill, I made you this, right? I call it a theranome." Right?
I gotta go.
Check it out. And I was like, "Oh, okay. I've got pretty good. Go now. A theranome is pretty cool." And I've had miniature theremins made for me. I've had guitars made out of all kinds of things. But this is sometimes a novelty instrument. It looks good, but then you can't play the thing.
Right.
This thing is beautiful.
I'm expecting like a big leather-bound style Bible. Is it?
It is. Yeah. Exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
Now this time round, what does the Earl of Whimsy look like? What sort of topics are you delving into?
All kinds of things. The natural world, my own history, my own ancestry. The state of the world. Music as an imitation of nature. The sounds of nature and how they've been co-opted into popular music. I explain why Nicki Minaj used a certain bird call in one of her songs.
Wow.
It's not a puffin, I'm telling you that right now.
Okay.
And a lot of other stuff besides, like my own travels, personal recollections, where comedy's taken me the last 20 years.
Sounds nice and vast.
What's the most fascinating thing in the world today? Absurd or strange or...
fascinating. I think it's... To me, the social evolution, is a fascinating thing. It's like we are evolving, but we don't know it. We can't see it. You know, it's not... We can't see a visual manifestation of it, but... We are. Social mores are changing. We are changing. Our ability to process information is changing. You know, the social media's got a lot to play with that. We process things in smaller bursts. We behave differently in social groups. You know, politics is changing. The world is changing, but we're in it. We're in part of the flux. And there's a wonderful book called Homo Deus, which is Man as God by a guy called Yuval Noah Harari, which I recommend you read immediately, because it's all about us as humans and how we're changing and how the world will change in the next 20, 30 years.
It is, that sort of stuff is fascinating. The Breakfast Host is a big fan of playing snippets of audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the thick of Sapiens at the moment.
Trouble is we don't really live long enough and our perspective is so short to really notice the change, isn't it?
That's right, exactly right. And so this is great. It's like... Well, I think about that book and the one you mentioned, Sapiens, is like it's a kind of pull back and reveal, you know, like instead of just seeing our lives and here in the terms of our own lifespan, it just pulls back to show where we are in the state of human development. And it's fascinating stuff. It's, and it basically it makes all the kind of the Trumps and the Brexits all seem so insignificant, inconsequential by comparison, because these are just little, these are blips, phases in a longer cycle.
Now, you've just been awarded an honorary doctorate.
Right. Yes.
Does this mean you're going to return from this tour and go and lecture at a university?
Well, there's a very good chance that that might happen.
I'd expect you might have already done that.
Yeah. I do you know what? I was I literally got a letter from the guy that organized it, inviting me to the university in Bath, my hometown.
Right. Yeah.
To go and talk about
did
something.
Did you attend?
I attended the the ceremony.
Oh no, I mean, did you go to that university?
I haven't. No, I didn't go to the university. I was a terrible person. I went to university and then I was just kind of I was reckless and impatient, and I was drawn by the power of whimsy. But the guy presenting this doctorate was one of the royals. It was Prince Edward.
Holy hell!
Okay. Yeah, I didn't expect that. I knew it was going to be royal on me, and I inadvertently called him Top Wizard. And which caused a bit of eruption. But he is dressed like one. He's an old flipping Hogwarts. Anyway, but yeah, you're right. I will be going back to the university to talk about something. I don't know what. Who knows?
Okay. Now, I've just drawn on the great resource and always accurate resource of Wikipedia. Oh,
of course, Wikipedia, yeah.
Is it true that you're...
The Book of Lies.
Are you... Well, who did we interview?
I'm changing it right now. Read
we interviewed... on Monday, we interviewed Gaz Coombs of Supergrass.
Oh.
And I trucked through some of the Wikipedia with him, and he was like, oh my... Like, cut me off at the pass. He was like, wrong. He actually brought up all the points that we were going to run through. But is it true that you're an avid Star Trek fan?
I was, yeah.
Who isn't, though, to be fair?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was. Yeah, of course. And... It was, you know, I used to love it, and I've just, I mean, look, you know, I've continued. I'm a long term fan of the whole fantasy genre. So yeah,
sci-fi.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
So yeah, that bit's true.
Would you rate the new
recent
Star Wars installment, Solo?
Yeah, I thought it was great actually. I thought it was quite different in a lot of the sort of the Star Wars, but it had a sort of. I think what I appreciate is that it was a standalone story. You know, it's not one of these sequels and or prequels or whatever, which get slightly bogged down in their own importance. It was a little bit like, yeah, this is fun. This is kind of what I liked Star Wars in the first place about, you know.
So. Okay, so that Wikipedia story is true. What else have you got, John?
Okay, what else have you got?
Debunking Wikipedia. It's our duty.
Yeah, yep. So, go on.
I guess... I don't know.
I was curious.
We kind of touched on the bird watching as well, which is sort of a Wikipedia thing. But I think obviously New Zealand a great place or famous for the bird life.
Yeah.
Have you had an opportunity? Is this the sort of thing that you would go? Would you go on tour and then drop out for a couple of days and then indulge in a passion?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I'm on tour back home, we'll try and get out. Otherwise you're just stuck in hotel rooms, you start to get a bit stir crazy, and you I have to get outdoors, because otherwise if you're indoors too much, like the work is all indoors, you know. So, and if I can get out and do that, bird watching is just like a way, it's like a reason to get out and do something if other things are not available. If there's quad biking, obviously mountain biking, if there's paddle boarding, then I'll do that. And in fact, I'll try and do all of that while I'm here. In fact, paddle boarding being the one thing I want to try and do. But do you know what? The thing about birding is that it's sort of, it's not just about the, you know, the identification and ticking off of the birds, which is what it gets, always gets sort of, kind of characterized as some kind of nerdy, ticking off of species.
Well, I feel it's like hunting without killing something.
A lot of things are the chase, right?
Because you can see it.
That's
yeah. So it's a bit about, you know, it touches on a lot of things, like an existential sort of sense of being in the world, like knowing what's around you, you know. Mm. Like, you know, what's that called? You know, like totally, a lot of people would look at a bird and they go, it's a bird and it's probably a pigeon. And then
that's like my brother with planes. Everything's a Cessna.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, and you say, system. Well, no, look a bit closer. You know, it's different. oh, yeah. And then you just get people into it. And then you find people get quite, they know, they really get into it. And you say, well, look, use your binoculars. And you'll see there's loads and loads of different ones. And they all come at different times. And these will leave and these coming in. And then you sort of, the more you sort of get into it or you tune into it, you realize it's a whole world out of there because the birds are everywhere. And then you realize that you tune into other things like the kind of rhythm of the year, you know, the seasons, the change.
Because you know what's about.
What's about. It sort of it tells you a lot about a lot of things, and all of it's good and wholesome.
It's heavy. Good. Yeah. Right. Yeah. On.
Excellent.
Hey, Bill, it's at this time of the segment that we should probably mention where you're playing and what you're doing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
you're in the thick of it. You're about to kick off a New Zealand.
Just
New
wandering Zealand around tour. With a guitar by the side of the road. If you drive around, you'll probably see him, you know.
It's a Bible guitar, you'll know.
Yeah.
Now, your Saturday night show in Auckland is sold out.
Yep.
I'm up to date with that. But you do have a Sunday show, and people can get tickets. It's at the ASB Theatre if anyone out there is wanting to get along. I had a look tonight. You can get them from either the Auckland Live site or Ticketmaster.
Sure.
Still tickets for that show. But other than that, you're just trundling right down the country,
mm-hmm.
all over.
I'll be there, yeah. I'm just, you know, going around. I think there's 9 dates and titles, so...
I got a few. You're hitting Dunedin, Christchurch, Tauranga, Hamilton, New Plymouth. We're in Auckland right now, Wellington. You're getting around for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Use the internet. The internet's your friend at this
absolutely,
point.
Absolutely, yeah. Go on, Google it up. Google it right up.
All right. Well,
we should definitely get a voice ID from
you. We have to get a
Bill.
Voice ID from you. Are you okay to give us...
Sure.
That's us right up there on that sign.
And how do you like to say that?
The floor is yours, really.
Oh, 95
BFM.
BFM, but it's encased with a square. Is that this? Is 95 B?
You know, I've really nearly thought about that.
It's in a little house. It's like some China. It's like a sort of Mandarin symbol.
It's a nice, cute little.
It's a beautiful
little
thing. 95 surrounded by a square. BFM. 95 BFM. I'm Bill Bailey, and I'm on 95 BFM, talking with my human voice. Something like that.
Thanks, mate. Awesome. Hey, such a pleasure. Thanks so much, mate. Enjoy your time, of course.
Thank you.
Superb.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.